Right, yes, we continue then in the prophecy of Haggai, and I'm going to read to you our passage. The words will appear on the screen, but I would encourage you to follow it in your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, there's plenty by the entrance there. Partly I want you to have your Bibles open, because if you do get a bit distracted and your attention wanders, I'd much rather your attention wander over the pages of God's Word rather than looking around and counting the chairs or looking at the state of the curtains. Yeah, I mean, want us to focus on God's Word and want to hear Him speaking. Okay. So, Haggai, I don't know, something like that, Harry. If you don't know where to find him yet, he's right at the back end of the Old Testament. If you work backwards, you've got Malachi, which is the last book in the Old Testament, Zechariah, Haggai, and then Zephaniah. So if you get to Zephaniah going backwards, you've gone too far. So he's there sandwiched in between these, between Zephaniah and Zechariah, who of course are both prophets that we know so well. Okay, maybe not. Haggai chapter 2. And we're reading verses 10 to 19. Okay. On the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet. Thus says the Lord of hosts, ask the priests about the law. If someone carries holy meat in the fold of his garment, and touches with his fold bread or stew or wine or oil or any kind of food, does it become holy? The priests answered and said, no. Then Haggai said, if someone who is unclean by contact with a dead body touches any of these, does it become unclean? The priests answered and said, it does become unclean. Then Haggai answered and said, so is it with this people and with this nation before me, declares the Lord, and so with every work of their hands, and what they offer there is unclean. Now then, consider from this day onward, before stone was placed upon stone in the temple of the Lord, how did you fare? When one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were but 20. I struck you and all the products of your toil with blight and with mildew and with hail, yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. Consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, since the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider, is the seed yet in the barn? Indeed, the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have yielded nothing. But from this day on, I will bless you. What was all that about? Anybody got a lamb chop in their pocket? And I mean, carrying meat around in the folds of your garment, what has this got to do with us? Relevant question, I think. We'll come to that, hopefully. It has been said by several people, I think, in the past, that the duty or the aim of a preacher is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. I think so far we've seen both of that in Haggai's previous messages. His first message came to a people who had become too comfortable. They were seeing to their own comfort. They were panelling their own houses, but the work they had come to do to rebuild God's temple, they had kind of left that by the wayside, really. They were comfortable. And Haggai came and he afflicted them. He challenged them. He said, come on, this isn't a time for you to be living in panelled houses. You need to get on with doing what you're supposed to be doing. Afflict the comfortable. Then his second message that Ben preached on a couple of weeks ago was, in a sense, comforting the afflicted. You see, the people had started work again, but they were just feeling a bit demoralized and despondent and discouraged. And Haggai's mission then was to comfort them, to encourage them, to say, come on, you can do this. You're building more than you can see. He came and he comforted the afflicted. But this third message, I don't know. Are we comforting the afflicted or afflicting the comfortable or comforting the comfortable or afflicted? Well, as I've said before when sitting here, you know, sometimes when you're kind of trying to unpack a passage of scripture, it's not necessarily the best thing to do to start at the beginning. I think last time I preached, I kind of went into the middle to work out what the passage was about. This time I'm going to the end. Going to the end of the passage, and then we'll work back into it. Because I totally understand where the passage ends. The last statement, this is God speaking through Haggai to his people, and he says, from this day on, I will bless you. I get that. Do you get that? You get what he's talking about? Don't know about all this meat and unclean stuff and all that, but I get that. In fact, that's where most of our worship has been focusing, hasn't it? Just how much God just wants to bless and how much he wants us to come to him and receive his mercy and his blessing. So I absolutely get that. You know, blessing is a theme that runs all the way through our Bibles from beginning to end. It's just the first page, well, second page in my edition, but God has created the world, he's created everything in it. And on the sixth day, there in front of him is the masterpiece of his creation. Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God's first words to the masterpiece of his creation, and God blessed them. And God said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion. I've given you every plant yielding seed and every tree. I'm giving it all to you. God blessed them. Okay, things went a bit wrong. But turn to the last page of your Bibles and you see the same thing again. Revelation chapter 22. These are the words of the risen Jesus to us. Revelation 22:7, Jesus says, behold, I'm coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. He says, hang on to my words, hang on to my promises. I'm coming back and I want to bless you. And if that wasn't enough, in verse 14, blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life. I want you to come and have life and I want to bless you. It's what God wants to do. It's what he does. It's in his DNA. He blesses. Psalms are full of wonderful messages of praise. How does it start? How does the book of Psalms start? Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the unwise and so on, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Blessed is the man who puts me first, says God, just come to me and be blessed. And if that's not enough, Jesus, when he started his earthly ministry, the first big body of teaching that he gave in Matthew 5, what we call the Sermon on the Mount. How does it start? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who meek. So many categories. I want to bless. I want to bless. I want to bless. I want to bless. Like father, like son. Right. God's desire is to bless. Apparently, the word bless or blessing occurs about 490 times in our Bibles. I don't know. And it's not always about God blessing us. It's about people blessing one another and so on. But it's just like a stick of rock with blessing running all the way through it. It's what God wants to do. And so Haggai says, from this day on, I will bless you. And I aim this morning to say, what does it mean when God says, I will bless you? And how does that fit in with what Haggai is saying? And what's the significance of from this day on? Okay, that's all. I'm just going to unpack that sentence. I will bless you. I did a little bit of research. Go onto Facebook and search for hashtag blessed. You will find, wait for this, 94 million uses of hashtag blessed. If you don't understand what hashtag blessed is, ask a 14-year-old. Don't ask me. Hashtag blessed, 94 million. People use this tag to celebrate having a new girlfriend, having a new boyfriend, getting a promotion, getting a pay rise, going out for a nice meal, having a cute dog. And in one sense, you know, when God blessed Adam back in Genesis, it was all those things. He had a new girlfriend. He had a promotion. He'd been given authority, dominion over all things. He'd got a pay rise. God said, it's all yours. He'd got a nice meal. God said, yeah, eat anything you like apart from that tree. Got a nice dog. In fact, got a cute hippopotamus as well and a couple of elephants, and he had them all. Yeah, in one sense, he had that kind of blessing. Adam might have been tempted to write hashtag blessed, but it doesn't take too much further reading to see that actually God's blessing is about more than those kind of material things, the things you can see and touch and feel. God's blessing we see, and we've seen it this morning in our worship time, God's blessing is about drawing us into relationship with him. That's what he wants to do. He wants to draw us closer to him. Why did he bless Adam and Eve in the way that he did? Because he wanted relationship with them. Okay, they turned their back on that. They chase the things rather than the giver of those things. But he wants to make us more fully satisfied in him. Coming back to a Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says, blessed are all these people. But then you read on and you read the nature of those blessings. It's not blessed are the poor because I'll give you lots of money. Blessed are the mourn because I'll cheer you up by telling you a few jokes. What does Jesus promise to them? I want to give you the kingdom of heaven. I want you to come into my kingdom. I want you to be comforted. No more than that. I want to comfort you. I want to satisfy you. I want you to receive mercy from me. I want you to see God. And I want you to be called sons of God. That's what blessing means when it's coming from God or from Jesus. Sadly, hashtag blessings, all of those things that you see people celebrating on social media, can have exactly the opposite effect. Because we can go chasing after those things, and in the effect, we can go further and further from God, and suddenly what we see as blessings are really not blessings at all. When God blesses, it's about come closer. Come closer. In Haggai's time, what were they doing? They were building the temple. What's the temple all about? It was about God dwelling with his people. The temple was like the symbol of God's presence with his people. The whole thing was about relationship. God was saying, come closer, I want to bless. And so, in the middle of all this stuff about meat in the fold of your garment and touching stew or wine or touching a dead body, God says, I want to bless you, come closer. From this day on, what's so special about this day? Did you notice as we were reading it, twice? Just in a short 10 verses, twice, he spells it out. It's this day, the 24th day of the ninth month. I don't know. What's that about then? The ninth month in the Jewish calendar would have corresponded around about to December. Okay. So we're in kind of winter, 24th of December, Christmas Eve. I don't think that's what he was referring to. From this day on, from Christmas Eve, I will bless you because you'll wake up in the morning and there'll be lots of lovely presents. No, that's not what it was about. Okay, what was it about the 24th day of the ninth month? Haggai seems to have a bit of a kind of calendar fixation. Did you notice that? His prophecy starts with, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month. So on the first day of the sixth month is where it starts.